Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Christina Schnuckel, Wealth Advisor and Director for Ellenbecker Investment Group. Ellenbecker Investment Group is located in Pewaukee, just north of I-94, between Highway 164 and Highway F in Ridgeview Corporate Park, and in the village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank Building across from Winkies. We also serve clients in Bonita Springs, Florida. Visit ellenbecker.com for more details. My guests today are Kim Acheson and M.K. Christensen, the mother-daughter team from Robertson Ryan Insurance. Ladies, thank you so much for coming back to Money Sense.
Thank you so much for having us back.
Yeah, we're always excited.
I'm excited about our topic today because I feel like it's a really important one. And while it's not a great topic, because we're talking about the recent rainfall and flooding that we've seen in southeastern Wisconsin and how that relates to your home insurance, it's crazy when we look at the statistics that have come in on this. I think just in Milwaukee alone, there was 14.5 inches in a 24-hour period, which they said was potentially a new state record. Across the board here in Pewaukee, I know we had water in our basement for the first time ever. We've never experienced any flooding issues. And I think a lot of people were in that same boat and feeling kind of overwhelmed of not knowing what coverage they had, what coverage they didn't have, what's covered, how to deal with that damage. You know, we're hearing some estimates of just residential damage, about $33 million across three counties. Public infrastructure, $43 million across six counties. And that over 1,500 homes were destroyed or severely damaged by the rain. I've heard them refer to it as the 100-year flood, and then I heard a 500-year flood. I don't know what they're calling it, but this was a really big thing in southeastern Wisconsin where most of us don't typically think about having water issues. So I'm hoping you two can shed some light today on what are the different types of stormwater damage and what should people be looking for in their policies and what does that coverage look like? So it's a big topic. So MK, I'll let you jump in first.
It is a big topic. You are correct. And we felt like it was such serendipitous timing when we were asked to come back and do a show. And then immediately these storms happened, and we had been fielding more questions than ever from clients as to how to deal with those losses and did they have coverage and what should they be doing while they waited for the adjuster to come or for someone to reach out to them. You know, in a situation like that where resources are so, everyone's stretched for resources, you know, every mitigation company had call lists longer than they knew what to do with. And we were, you know, working 12-hour days just handling the claims coming in. It was certainly a time where people felt very unsure and they were dealing with all this damage. So I was happy that we could get in and make some time to talk about this. You know, part of what the trouble was is that it was, pun kind of intended, the perfect storm of events mm-hmm. with water, where you had every possible type of water damage that could happen happening to people. You had it backing up into homes. You had it coming in through windows and coming in through doors. You know, it's backing up, it's flooding, it's some pumps are failing because the water is so much. And so there was a lot of discussion about, you know, what is covered, what's not covered. And so I'm glad that we could be here too.
I'm so happy that the two of you could come in too on relatively short notice to talk about this topic. And, you know, I just want to say I really appreciate your business model and how you're there to help clients through something like this. Just talking before the show about your weekend plans and hearing that you both are working through the weekend, really, and we're happy about it because you said, Kim, you said all hands on deck. Yeah. Your clients need you right now. And that's just such a comforting thought, I think, as homeowners are thinking about their damage and where to go, what to do, of knowing that they've got a partner when it comes to their home insurance that can be there for them when they need the extra support. So thank you for that.
You bet. And just kind of an aside to this, I knew that there was heavy rains that night. I stayed up watching them, noticing that on the radar that storm system had parked. And I kind of was waiting for calls to come in, you know, my number's out there. And at 3 a.m, I went to bed and got up at 8 to a firestorm of things. I went downstairs and started working. MK was already on the phone working claims, and that was a 14-hour day. And we were so busy, and it seemed like things were coming in geographically specific, which was, you know, not unusual. It wasn't until 10 o'clock that night when we turned on TV to see how large and what it was, because we were completely reactionary. And MK remarked something, and I said, oh, no, there are people who are agents that are waiting for Monday morning to get started. But this is truly what our business model is. All of our remote workers, we have several that work in different states, had no knowledge of this storm. They were on board that day. So it was, it's what we're about. It's what you have to do in these moments because people don't know what to do.
Absolutely. Good. Well, tell us a little bit about what are those different types of storm water damage? Because you just enlightened me a little bit, even with talking about the perfect storm, of all these different types. In my mind, water's water. So I don't think I've ever given enough thought to differentiate between whether it's a storm surge or water coming in through the window or flooding or the sub pump not working. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I would say you are not alone in that. A lot of people see, you know, water is water and the problem is the problem. But the way that the water comes into your house and causes a problem does matter in the eyes of the insurance company. So the thing that a lot of people are most familiar with is going to be water backup coverage, where you think about water literally backing up into the house, whether that's through a sump pump that's overwhelmed or through a floor drain or sometimes even through a toilet, like a plumbing fixture. It backs up into your basement and now it's damaged, you know, the flooring and your belongings that are down there. And that's something where there's coverage that most people can put on a homeowner's insurance policy as an endorsement. So what I'm trying to say is that it's not a separate policy that people have to go seek out themselves. It's something where an agent can check the box, yes or no, and endorse it onto an existing home policy. So that's something that I think a lot of people are more familiar with. It's something that, you know, gets discussed a little bit more often. But the issue with these storms was that you had this other component to it where there was so much water coming down that it was coming in over the front door for people. It was, you know, literally it was flooding. And that's the word that causes a lot of hesitancy in people these days when it comes to water and insurance is the word flood, because that's handled very differently than water backup coverage is. In these storms that we had, when you had so much water that, again, it's coming through the front door or in through the windows, that is a flood event and that is treated differently. So if you are in a floodplain, this may have happened to you, and you would know that you were in a floodplain if your lender for your home said, hey, you need to go buy flood insurance now or we're going to have a problem.
There's flood coverage that is underwritten by the government. We're the paper pushers, but they set the rate, they set the terms. if you're in this area, if you're near a body of water, and even if it's a little creek, that could put you in this federally designated flood area, and then this policy is mandatory. Comes with some limitations. The most that you can purchase is $250,000 of coverage on your home. There's coverage, there's some coverage for your belongings, but it's not a replacement cost policy. And so if you don't have to have the coverage, it's not that expensive. Depending on the value of your home, it could be $1,000, $2,000. If you're in a floodplain, it's more likely you're going to need that coverage, and so it's priced accordingly, and it's much more expensive. But in the course of the way that the water comes in and how the insurance industry is trying to help you, that flood policy is a separate policy. When you're talking about your homeowner's insurance, with some companies, there are ways to get some flood coverage by endorsement as well. This is very new. It's extraordinarily limited in the marketplace. We only have a handful of companies that offer it. And maybe MK can talk a little bit about that type of coverage for a flood event that tends to be unexpected, a little bit isolated.
Okay, so for people not necessarily in that floodplain.
Correct.
Exactly. Someone who's not federally, you know, mandated to purchase flood coverage. It's called inland flood coverage, and it's set up to be coverage, honestly, for exactly the people who were affected by these storms on the 10th of August, for people who don't live in floodplains but want to protect themselves from floodwaters in the event that a torrential storm like this comes and affects their home.
But it is going to be a more limited coverage, whereas through the federal coverage, you can get up to $250,000 on a home. This is probably going to be limited to around $50,000 of maximum coverage, but it'll be better than nothing. It'll be priced very affordably. And that is what a lot of people had. There are certainly homes that flooded, that it was unexpected, the basement collapsed, and it's a total loss. But those are fewer and far between.
Okay. Good. Well, thank you, ladies. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back more to talk more about this flood coverage and the rains that we've had. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Christina Schnuckel, Wealth Advisor and Director here at Ellen Becker Investment Group. My guests today are Kim Acheson and M.K. Christensen from Robertson Ryan Insurance Group. And we've been talking about the recent flood events here in southeastern Wisconsin. And before our break, we were talking a little bit about inland flood coverage versus that federally mandated flood insurance if you are in a floodplain. And we didn't get to fully explore that topic, but that was something I hadn't really heard about before, is the additional flood insurance. Tell us a little bit more about that. And is that something that you see people outside of flood plains get that flood insurance? I think I'm thinking through my mind right now at our own homeowner's policy. We're up on a hill. We're not in a flood zone. I'm not sure that we have it.
Yes, exactly. And for a lot of people, that's, you know, where they're at too. They're a little higher elevated. They're, you know, not near a body of water. It might not be something that they think about. The beauty of inland flood, and again, this is a very new coverage to the insurance industry and to our companies that offer it. There's one company that I believe started offering it about 4 weeks before these storms happened. So it was brand new. But it's a very different thing than a flood policy. So inland flood works a lot more like water backup coverage on a homeowner's insurance policy, where it's something that can be endorsed, not a whole separate policy that you have to buy. Most of the time with inland flood coverage, the insurance company wants to match the limit to whatever the water backup coverage is, or at least they won't let you have more inland flood coverage than water backup coverage. They just want to make sure that you are getting all of the protection that you need, and they understand mm-hmm. that, you know, what these storms look like for people, where it's it's coming in all different ways in a storm that's this bad. And so they want to make sure that there's coverage both ways.
So probably not going to cover a total loss, but is going to go a long way with helping with some of the damage that people might have had from flooded basements or whatnot.
Exactly.
Exactly. I had a situation a number of many years ago where an above ground pool broke, the sidewall broke. All this water poured into the backyard, broke the window, and went into the basement.
Oh my goodness.
That is surface water that came in, and that would not normally be a covered loss. But the inland flood coverage is designed to address a situation like that. So it can be storm related, or it could be, yeah, I think we've had a situation where maybe somebody's, a neighbor's hose was left on and directed at our insured's house and the window well filled up. And, you know, that's a situation where you're getting water from a different source. And God bless the insurance industry that they are looking at these exposures and bringing these coverages to the insureds to decide whether this is something you want to protect with your insurance policy or you want to self-insure it. And everybody has their own things that they're afraid of. So we leave that to the customer, but it's nice to see that they're, instead of limiting coverages for things they don't want to cover, they're providing protection.
Yes. And it's exactly like you said, Christina, where it's not meant for a total loss of a home that is going to be swept away in a flood, but it is something. It's there to, you know, to handle that cleanup and to handle the effects of that. And that's another thing that I kind of wanted to talk about is how these policies, what they're meant to cover and how they kind of work within the larger scope of a homeowner's insurance policy. When we had these storms on the 10th, I had a client call who had sustained water damage to her basement, and she had, I want to say, $25,000 of water backup coverage. And what she had was a water backup. She was very glad to hear that. We talked about it. And then she asked me, okay, so I have that for the water backup coverage, but I have all this coverage for personal property too. How does that work? And I had to explain to her that how the water backup coverage works is that any damage that is done by that water, that's what that limit is there to cover. While a homeowner's policy has limits for things like personal property, water is an excluded cause of loss until you add it back with this coverage. Mm. So that water and sewer backup limit is everything. It's there to cover the mitigation efforts that homeowners have to go through. So when you get in touch with a mitigation company and they're bringing their big fans and their big dehumidifiers and they're getting that water and that moisture out of there, the limit is there to help with that. But that limit is also there to help with any of the belongings that people have had that may have been damaged in their basement. So, you know, something as simple as a cat tree, something, you know, bigger like furniture. But then also it's there for the parts of a finished basement that may be damaged. So any flooring that's now wet and has to be removed, any drywall that has to be cut away because the water has reached it and now it might mold.
Right.
So no double dipping on those different parts of the policy, it sounds like.
That is exactly right.
Well, I think that's why it's so important of the education around what's in your homeowner's policy and to understand it. I know I'm definitely going to go home and read through our policy of all those provisions in there, because, you know, I don't know about most people when they're going through the homeowner's insurance, you think about, yep, we need to have this. We want to make sure our house doesn't burn down. You're not necessarily thinking about all those other scenarios that could happen. Like the example with the above ground pool, that's, you know, mind boggling. So,
right. Exactly.
And I think that you, talk about going and reading the policy, and I think that's a wonderful end, and it probably is maybe something from the nightstand because it's a contract. And the concern that I have is that in a policy, like a contract, it's going to take something away in one location, and you're going to have a knee-jerk reaction saying, wait, I thought that was covered. And then you're going to find that it's put back in another spot. So I encourage you and anyone else to augment that knowledge with your hopefully knowledgeable insurance agent. And you should be able to get clear on things that are so common, like water and trees falling and all the, these should be clear, concise, complete answers that you should be getting from them. And then that augments what you learned when you read the policy. And then I think that can bring you peace of mind.
Absolutely. The peace of mind is really important.
It is.
Especially with water. And you said, you know, Mom, that it was common. And you're right. I believe I read from one of the companies that we work with that you are 13 times more likely to suffer a water damage claim than a fire claim.
Hmm. Well, and the industry pays far more in water claims than they do in fire losses. So it is a concern that we're seeing addressed substantially on the insurance company's side, saying this is what someone needs. And we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Before I took us off on a tangent about my nighttime reading, you mentioned mold. So I'm mold, water, they go hand in hand. Is that something big that you guys are seeing, and how is that covered?
Yes, mold is rolled into that limit with most carriers for the sewer backup. And so when we get to our next segment is the mitigation process. When we get to that, we'll talk about mold and how that plays into it. But mold is a limited coverage in every policy. Now, some carriers don't offer any automatic mold coverage whatsoever. And some have limited coverage. But in the situation where you have a sewer backup claim or that type of water loss, the inland flood coming in coverage, you're going to find that that mold is also included in that policy limit, that $25,000.
When you think about what we're seeing, okay, we just had this freak event, this perfect storm, this 100 or 500 year, you know, rainfall event here in southeastern Wisconsin, my mind immediately goes to what's going to happen to these insurance premiums going forward? And are you anticipating that you're going to see flood insurance or this inland flood coverage go up in price because now people are going to be more aware of it? You know, I think a little bit of our clients in Florida, and with all the hurricanes over the last couple of years, of how much their homeowners insurance has just gone up and up and up. And do you think that we're going to see anything like that from here in Wisconsin as it relates to water coverage?
There are a lot of things that have been happening in the personal insurance industry, some of which we talked about the last time we were here. And I think that we were starting to see rates normalize. And as an industry, we had our fingers crossed that things were going to stabilize as far as losses. What we needed to have happen was that there wasn't a catastrophic loss that affected a large area. And so this didn't. This was really predominantly a southeastern Wisconsin storm. Didn't spill over into Chicago. And the industry doesn't really look at something of this scale and then have a knee-jerk reaction. So yes, when you turn in a claim, your homeowner's premium is going to go up a little bit. No getting around that. But this is going to be categorized as a cat loss, catastrophic loss. And so it doesn't get that knee-jerk reaction from a protection, from pulling coverage, from pricing. So small little blip, not a large thing that we're all going to have to endure for a long time.
Good. Well, that's reassuring to know. We're going to take another short break, and then we'll be back more with Kim and MK talking about water and flood coverage when we get back. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Christina Schnuckel, Wealth Advisor and Director here at Ellen Becker Investment Group. And today my guests have been Kim Atchison and MK Christensen, the mother-daughter team from Robertson Ryan Insurance. And ladies, it's been so great to have you back. And it's been so timely to have you come in at this point and talk about water and flood damage and how your homeowners insurance covers that or doesn't cover that and what that looks like. We've just experienced a huge event here in southeastern Wisconsin. I know the road that I drive down to get to the office finally just reopened after some of the water. It was crazy. So we've talked a little bit about the different types of stormwater damage and what's typically covered and those different types of coverage. But share with me now, what do you do when there's water in your basement? What's that starting point? Because I feel like in some ways it's a little bit paralyzing. If you've never dealt with this before, you're not in that floodplain. What do you do?
That is a wonderful question that everybody has. And I believe that I remarked to MK early in her career that every bad thing that happens to you personally allows you to be a better insurance agent because you've lived through it.
She mm-hmm. said that immediately after I had an animal hit with my car. So.
Yeah. Well, we say the same about going through bad markets. It allows you to be a better investor when you make it through it. So right. I can relate.
And I think that this, again, we're going to use that term perfect storm. It's allowing us to have a conversation on two different levels. And the best case scenario is you have something unique that happens at your home and you're the only person that has water in their basement, or you're maybe one of a handful of people. And so all the resources that you need to make this unfold perfectly for you are available. That is not what happened here. And so we're going to talk about what it is when it's a large scale loss like this, because everything other than this is fairly easy, but it all looks the same. You're going to want to get your agent involved, but maybe you can't get a hold of your agent. So you have to know that you have coverage. And if you do, are you going to need help, a mitigation company, sometimes known as a restoration company, to get the water out, to bring the equipment in? So you can call a number of mitigation companies. We keep a list. We were texting that list to people saying, start here. But the problem was by already at 8:30 Sunday morning, the list was longer than they were going to get to in the next 2 weeks. Mm. So if you weren't already in touch with a mitigation company by 8:30 that morning, it was going to be a while.
So time is of the essence when it comes to major water issues.
Yes. So the mitigation companies can come in. They can extract water if you have wall-to-wall carpeting, although I would caution everybody who has had a sewer backup claim that it is curious to me that people put wall-to-wall carpeting in basements when there is a drain in the floor. The drain in the floor should be a signal that you should expect water. Now, sometimes people will have a water claim and they think it's an isolated incident, and then they'll put that wall-to-wall carpeting in again. And yes, if you've had water in your basement once, Christina,
you're going to have it again.
You're going to have it again. And so you need to rethink that, is what I believe, right? It's not fun. And that it accelerates that mold growth. So think perhaps about putting area rugs in that you can pull out and let them dry out pretty easily, pretty quickly. Put things in plastic bins. So the things that you can do to try and mitigate your own loss on the front end is good. But if you need help, the mitigation companies will extract the water from your flooring. They will bring in the dehumidifiers. They will bring in the fans. You want to get everything out of that basement that you can. It is not going to dry in your basement. If it's personal property, nature, whatever, get it out, get it to the garage, get it outside. Take pictures. This is a key. Take pictures and then get rid of it. So it is so important to get that wet stuff out before the mold begins, because it's a limited coverage. Mm-hmm. And you've suffered a catastrophic loss. You'd like to use as much to help you get yourself back together again as possible. And you can be in a world of hurt when it's going to take 2 weeks before you're going to get a mitigation company to come out and help you. And so the advice that I give people, if you can't verify what your coverage is because maybe it's a holiday, you can't get a hold of anybody, and you have this event, you have to pretend that you have no insurance. and you do everything that you would normally do to protect your property. You take pictures of everything, and it's all going to be sorted out at the end. But what you don't do is do nothing. If you have a hole in your roof, you have to tarp the roof. Find somebody to tarp the roof. Mm-hmm. Don't wait for the insurance company. You have a clause in every insurance policy that says you have to protect your property from further loss, from further loss. So I'm going to give you an example. I'll use the fire. I love this example. You have a small fire in your home and you're fortunate you get everything out on the front lawn so nothing is damaged in the fire. And now a rainstorm comes along and damages everything out there. You didn't protect it from the rain. So while you saved it from the fire, there's not going to be coverage for that. It needed to be tarped, right? So it's that, and that's for illustrative purposes. It's that you have to do what you can to prevent that further loss. But that mold is a serious issue.
Yeah, the mold is, you know, when that mold starts. So it makes complete sense when you say it won't dry if you keep it in the basement. Get that stuff out there, protect it. Act like you don't have the insurance.
Right.
I think that's a really important. I'm so happy that you shared that. Before we take a quick break, one question. So, Kim, you mentioned the importance of take pictures, then get rid of it.
Yes.
What is really needed? What needs to be encapsulated in that picture to make sure that people have enough coverage? Do I need to take 25 pictures from every single angle of that item? Or what's the important things for people as they're looking at doing that triage of get it out, picture, get rid of it? What's needed?
I think that insurance companies understand the nature of this whole situation. I will tell you that what we're finding now are some companies are wanting to analyze that wall-to-wall covering that was downstairs. And so I would tell you to save a 12-inch square piece if you're with a company that is going to want to see that for quality to make certain that you get the quality back that you had. But if you need a dumpster, get a dumpster. Different communities handled the pickup of this very, very differently. Mm-hmm. But this really is about your community, and take the pictures. It is, nobody is thinking that there's fraud involved here. You just simply want to be able to document this was damaged, get rid of it.
Okay.
Keep that. But pictures for everything from auto accidents to homeowners' losses, that's the reason that you don't have to. You've got photographic evidence. You don't need to wait. And mm-hmm. and we don't want you to wait, and you shouldn't wait.
Yeah. In a situation like this, a clear picture of items that are damaged, if you can see the water damage on that, that's great. Pictures of water lines on the wall can also be helpful, especially if you're about to cut the drywall off to get it dry down there. But just, you know, a few clear pictures of any items that you're getting rid of, that should do the trick.
There's always evidence of how high that water went, but if you take a picture. I'll tell you what, early in my career, I walked into a home who had a basement flood, and I saw, and you know, sometimes people in their basements put old things. It was that old big TV underwater, completely underwater. It was up like 7 or 8 steps.
Oh, wow.
It was, it's that image is burned into my mind.
Well, ladies, thank you so much for sharing that information. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back more with Kim and MK from Robertson Ryan Insurance in just a few minutes. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Christina Schnuckel, wealth advisor and director here at Ellen Becker Investment Group. My guests today have been Kim Acheson and MK Christensen from Robertson Ryan Insurance. Thank you, ladies, for being here again and for talking to us about flood coverage and water damage. And what do we do when we encounter a catastrophic loss, a little bit of a loss, you know, really any loss from water can be really devastating and damaging to properties. So we've been talking a little bit today about what that coverage looks like, as well as what to do. What are the practical steps you take when you get water in your basement? For our last few minutes together today, I'm hoping you can tell me a little bit about what can we do on the prevention side? How can we make our homes less susceptible to water damage?
Right. And we mentioned briefly about putting things in plastic containers as opposed to cardboard boxes and floor coverings, how important that is. But we want to, if we can, never have that water come in. And so some of these fixes are outside of your home. And it's grading. It's that your house is properly graded. And getting someone that specializes in landscaping and basement waterproofing, maybe they attack it from both. And I believe that when you're trying to troubleshoot those problems, you should engage 3 or 4 or 5 contractors. And you should find that there's a similar theme from what they're telling you. How do you learn? You go through this yourself. I had, when I first built my house, I had some water and some in a spot. I had 4 or 5 contractors come out. 4 gave me bids from $16,000 to $20,000. And one said, you have a grading issue. The water is tipping towards the house. Fix the grading problem. You'll fix the water. And I thought, well, that's the least expensive of these options. I'm going to start there. And that was the solution. So lots of varying opinions on what to do. I think the more information you get, you'll find the common theme. But the idea is that the water pitches away from the home. In New Berlin, we have swales that run between the house. So it takes the water that's going from my foundation away, the other next door neighbor, into this gully, if you will, that takes it out to the road. If you have the opportunity to have your downspouts attached to the sewers, that's what you would want to do, because that's further taking all that water that's coming off the roof away from your home. If there's a way to secure your downspouts with a screw so that those two pieces don't depart, which has happened to us in this storm. And so we had what's called hydrostatic pressure. The downspout disengaged. We didn't realize it. We had all this water against the foundation and it seeped in through the wall. Most carriers don't cover that at all. We do, again, have some carriers that do, but that is really something that's difficult to find. And that is a loss that people had that, you know, how do you fix that seepage coverage? So I'd say check on the grading, take care of the downspouts, make sure that your gutters are large enough to handle the water that's coming off of your roof. Sometimes in heavy storms, you may see that the water is jumping the roof and it's falling off the side. Get a roofing professional involved to address those kinds of things. And when you're dealing with professionals, as opposed maybe to your neighbor's grandson who's just starting this landscaping business, right? They will have solutions to your problems and they should give you choices.
Yeah. And there's, so that is a lot of what you can do to kind of the outside of your house to help you prevent that water loss. But there are also things that you can do within your home to hopefully prevent you from having water in your basement or anywhere else that it shouldn't be. One thing that I know happened to a lot of people during this round of storms was that the water in their sump pump, there was so much water that the sump pump burned out, or for some people, the power went out. And so their sump pump stopped working. And that's when they had water back up into their basement. But there are things that you can do to prevent that. You know, it's, again, no system's perfect, but these are certainly very helpful. There are battery backup systems for sump pumps that you can buy independently of the pump itself. And you can install so that should the power go out, that sump pump continues to work. That way, if the power goes out during a storm, it's not going to stop the sump from working. Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a very important consideration.
Yes. And, you know, when you've got storms of that magnitude, one of the other things that happen is winds with it. And so trees are falling and taking out power lines. Like, this is not an uncommon event. Something else to consider is generators. And I know that sounds like a big commitment, but really it doesn't need to be. There are portable generators that people can purchase, something where you could hook it up should the power go out, and it'll, you know, they're meant for small situations, maybe one appliance. And that could be your sump pump. It could also be a fridge. Some people really don't want to have to navigate a power outage. And so they will install a whole home generator so that in the event of a power outage, it kicks in automatically. There's no major gap in time where you don't have power, and so that sump pump does keep working. So there's a lot that you can do in that regard. Some people also choose to install multiple sump pumps. So if you have multiple spots, you know, if you've had water losses in your basement and you know that this might be an issue in the future, or you know that it's, you know, there are multiple spots in your home where this is going to be a problem, you can install more than one sump pump to help keep that water out of your basement. It really, but again, like my mom was saying, that consulting a professional can be a very, very helpful thing. You know, we're insurance professionals, but I am not an excavating mm-hmm. professional, and I am not an engineer. So,
short-term pain for long-term gain when it comes to pricing. You know, you get what you pay for, and getting some advice, recommendations up front, it may cost a little bit, but it sounds like it could be a big savings on the back end when you run into an issue like this.
And this is peace of mind.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And there's, you know, this isn't storm-related exactly, but there are systems that are becoming more popular and more beloved by insurance companies that we represent. Mm-hmm. As ways to prevent water in a non-storm situation. So for example, there are water sensor systems that you can buy, and you can put sensors near hot spots or wet spots, as it were, in your house. So think near your sump pump, near appliances that are hooked up to plumbing, like near toilets, and they will bing to your phone if they sense moisture there. So you know exactly the second that you have a problem. There are also systems, automatic water shutoff valves, and these are so cool. And I'm going to explain it like an insurance agent and not like an engineer, because again, I'm not an engineer, but they can sense the flow rate of water through the pipes in your home. And if they sense a change to that flow rate that indicates in whatever mathematical way that there is a leak somewhere, it will automatically shut off the water. It doesn't even ask you. It just says, we're going to fix this now.
And that sounds so high tech. Like we're in a science fiction movie. That's amazing.
I know. It is so amazing what technology is capable of these days. And again, these are things that most people mm-hmm. might not even know exist. And once you do, it's a little bit of research to find the best system that is going to work for you and give you that level of comfort that you want. But just know that if this is something that you worry about, there are options out there.
There are. And the lowest tech thing that you can do to prevent water problems in your home is when you are not home, when you're going away for one night or more, to turn the water off at the main. If you don't know where your main is, find it. It's a lever. It's just a little handle. You turn it down. And I am amazed at how many people have never thought of this, don't do it. Sometimes give us pushback on this by saying things like, well, if I have a water loss, that's what I have insurance for. And I did say to that gentleman, that is because you haven't had a catastrophic water loss. I want you to imagine that you go away to the Dells this weekend. You leave Friday night, right? It's a holiday weekend. And you come back on Monday and a pipe burst in your home upstairs right after you left.
Oh, my goodness.
How much water it has been running? It's only been a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say it's an overnight. You have 10 hours of running water. All of this could have been eliminated by going and shutting it off at the main. It is so easy.
Well, I'm going to add that to my, along with reading my homeowner's insurance policy and calling my agent, I'm going to add that to my list of making sure I know where that water main is, because we have not turned it off. And we're big travelers. We love to travel, and we're often not leaving our animals at home. They're going someplace else. So no one's popping by our house.
Right.
Probably shouldn't be saying that on open. but wow, this has been, ladies, this has been so educational. And I would encourage all of our listeners that if you had damage, if you didn't have damage, now is the perfect time to be revisiting your homeowner's insurance policy, talking to your agent, understanding what is covered and what isn't covered, and potentially getting the right type of coverage if it's not there. If you were lucky enough to get by this last month without any water damage, but the education is key of knowing exactly what you have and where to go from there. So Kim, MK, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. It's really appreciated.
Thank you for having us. Mm-hmm.
This was fun.
Good. Well, Money Sense airs on Saturdays from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. and on Sundays from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. If you enjoyed today's show and you want to learn more about EIG and our upcoming events, please visit ellenbecker.com or call us at 262-691-3200. As always, I hope that we've made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. And remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen.